Hey there, Kwajo here, and I understand that running your own Facebook ads can be quite complicated and intimidating, and yet at this point, you're not ready to hire out Facebook ad management. So, if this is you, I can teach you how to run your own Facebook ads, one-on-one, unlimited support over the next 28 days. We will have three Zoom calls, and in between those calls, you get all the support and all my strategies. I will audit your graphics, your ad copy, make sure that you're set up the way that's working best for my clients. We'll take care of all the analytics. I will coach you step by step how to troubleshoot ads, how to know when to scale, and how to read all the signs so that you're equipped to run successful lead magnet campaigns and profitable sales campaigns and registration campaigns for your launch or what have you. If you need this kind of support from me right now, then click the link in the show notes below. It's the Art of Online Business /call. I've been doing this all along, but now the offer is just focused on helping you run your successful ad campaign within the next 28 days, and the next five people get a pretty nice discount. All right, the link is in the show notes below. Back to the episode. Welcome back to another episode of The Art of Online Business, and I'm here with John Mendez, AI marketing coach, and we got something quite special for you if you still are not quite sure how to best use ChatGPT in your online course business and are just waiting for somebody to break it down for you step by step so ChatGPT can actually write and sound like you and even help you plan out a launch or your online course structure, make it more follow-alongable. I just invented that word, but I'm running with it. Then John is gonna help break that down for you today. We're gonna say hi to John in a second. You can see him right there smiling, but if my voice is new to you, head down to the description below. And there's two links. One heads to an episode where you can find out where Rick went, the former host, and two, you can find out more about me, where Rick interviewed me and then figure out how am I now living in Mexico when I was in China for 12 years before that? And what am I doing in the online course space other than managing Facebook ads and providing tips and tricks and strategies for the online course creator, coach, or membership owner who wants to scale up from, let's say, low six figures to high six figures? So welcome back, John.
Excited to be here, man. Man, I feel like we had like a master class right before this, and so I'm
We
ready.
did
I'm
indeed.
excited and drop some gems on this podcast today.
We really did have a master class. If somebody didn't know you or doesn't know you yet, head down to the description and go to the link to the previous episode where John and I just got to know each other. You can learn a little bit about his background, how he came up, so to speak, in the AI world. But yeah, it was a master class before we hit record. However, for the listener who would love to know how to make ChatGPT work better for them, before we get into how to say how you planned your own launch using ChatGPT and even getting ChatGPT to, which I thought was pretty cool, you told me you got ChatGPT to kind of look at the holes in the launch, so to speak, and maybe fill in the plans that you may have forgotten or remind you of things that you should be thinking about when running a launch. Can you break down this complex term called prompt engineering and what it actually means and how it relates to getting ChatGPT to give you a better response?
Yeah, so one of the things I hate the most about like anything techie is that all of the words are like super like complicated. Everything is multi-syllable. There's nothing simple, right? Like prompt engineering. Like what does that even mean, right? So the analogy I always use is prompt engineering, it's kind of like ordering at a restaurant. See, when you put an order in at a restaurant, let's say you order the, penne alla vodka, right? Right? It tells the chef exactly what you want to eat. The ingredients are there, right? And it shows him what he needs to prep it. And he knows when they order a penne alla vodka, right? Then I'll make a penne alla vodka. And that's the same thing with ChatGPT. So when I think of your prompt engineering, your prompts, right? Prompt engineering is just the art of writing prompts. So like the prompts that you're putting in, you want to think of it as like your order at a restaurant. And so the better your order, the more specific the result come, that comes out. And so with ChatGPT, a lot of people just go up to it and say, hey, let me get a pasta. And it's like, well, oh, ChatGPT sounds robotic. It doesn't sound like me. It pumped out something generic. And it's like, yeah, no duh. You put in something generic into it. But if you say, hey, put in a penne alla vodka, I want substitute, penne with something else with, a different type of noodle. And I'm also allergic to seafood, so no shrimp and all this stuff. Now the chef knows, like, when he's cooking, all these different preparations that he has to take into consideration, right, when he's cooking up the food. Same thing with ChatGPT. The more specific you are with your order into it, the better results that'll come out of it. So prompt engineering is a super techie term, but if you really break it down to its fundamentals, it's just pretty much the art of writing good prompts. And the more specific your prompt, the better outcome you'll get.
So I'm an Apple user, and we all know that the voice assistant for Apple, Siri, is like way behind everything else. And I think where I'm going with this is, like, when I talk to Siri, and she sucks. Hopefully they'll upgrade her soon. But when I talk to her, I feel like I have to use like these very canned robotic statements to get her to do what I want. Is it like that with ChatGPT?
No, for me, for ChatGPT, see, I dabbled with it for over a year. And to be completely transparent for anyone listening, I don't have any background in technology or IT or computer science or AI, even so to speak. I'm a business owner. I was using ChatGPT for my business and had a lot of time to just BS with it. And after a long time of BSing, you eventually stumble across a few tricks, right? A few tools, and you start adding that to your tool belt. And after about a year of BSing, right? A little over a year, actually, to be exact. My tool belt is pretty full now, right? I got something, a ChatGPT ticker strategy for everything. And so when it comes to writing prompts, the best framework that I found, it's called the RACE framework. It's something that's super simple and
Race.
easy to remember. And it's called RACE, right? Like you're running a race or you're in a car race. And it stands for role, action, context, expectation. For anyone listening, write that down if you're writing it, if you can at least. If you're
Role,
driving, don't.
action, content.
Expectation.
Expectation. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Write that
So
down.
let me break it down for you guys, right? So we have the role, right? You want ChatGPT to act as if it's something. So ChatGPT is trained on over a trillion data points. That's a lot of data right there. And
Yeah.
not all of it is necessary and even relevant to whatever it is that you're using it for. So giving it a role allows it to give it a certain frame to look at your prompt through, right? Whatever you input into it. And so if you tell someone, if you ask, for example, a doctor, what's the best thing to do to stay healthy? And then you ask a nutritionist, and then you ask a football player, right? Three different people, you're going to get three different answers. Same thing with ChatGPT. So
Sure.
giving it a role helps frame it in a proper context that you need so it can give you the answer you're looking for, or at least something that's relevant to what you're looking for. And I always say that there's three levels to this, right? There's three levels to giving ChatGPT a role. So I remember when I first started using ChatGPT and I figured out kind of this framework, and I would just be like, hey, like, imagine you're a social media marketer. And then from there, ChatGPT will act as if it's a social media marketer. And as I said, with a lot of time BSing, you let a curious guy start testing some things out. I was like, all right, this is cool and all, but like, what if it could like be somebody? Like, what if it could mimic somebody? And so one of the guys that I follow is Dan Kennedy, a big time direct response marketer, old school guy before my time, way before my time. But he's someone that Russell Brunson looks up to. And so I was like, well, if Russell looks up to him, he clearly has to know something pretty well, right?
Those guys are
And
cool
so,
because
yeah.
they didn't have so much social media and all these fancy graphics and reels to rely on. Like they had only copy to rely
Yeah,
on. So Dan Kennedy.
exactly. And so, and on top of that, right? Like those guys understand marketing, right? And actually what gets people to buy, right? Because what's the whole point of marketing if it's not bringing anything in? And the beauty of it is that they're all pretty big already. So quick sidebar, ChatGPT is trained, I think as of right now, up until like April 2023.
Yeah,
But
I
these
believe
guys
that's
were
right.
big long before then. So like there's already tons of, information on them already out on the internet. Perfect, right? If you got someone that just got big last year, it's probably not going to work. But so I was thinking, I was like, what if I told ChatGPT to activate its Dan Kennedy? And boom. And then next thing you know, it started putting out, responses and Dan Kennedy's style. He's a little bit more direct. He's actually pretty, pretty slick. Like he has a way with words. He knows what he's doing when it comes to writing copy. And so ChatGPT will kind of mimic his style. I'm just like, okay, that's dope. So I started using like, hey, act as if you're Dan Kennedy, right? And it started giving me better responses. And then one day I'm like, all right, it's cool to know that I can act as Dan Kennedy, but I'm not sure why it's making any of the changes or tweaks that it's doing. I don't really understand why they're saying things a certain way. So I was like, all right, this is what I typed in. I was like, imagine you were Dan Kennedy and I paid you $100,000 for one-on-one consulting. And at that time, I think I was writing an email sequence, if I'm not mistaken. I was like, what tweaks, suggestions or critiques that would you have to make this email click-through rate conversions, or click-through rate go through the roof or something along those lines. And so from there, not only did it tweak and adjust the email sequence that I was working on, but it also gave me the reasons as to why. So now I was able to start kind of understanding the lens that ChatGPT was looking through and why it was making the suggestions that it did. Right. And
I
now I
think
was
that's
able
a
to get a
whole,
deeper understanding on it.
I think that's a whole new, to cut in, a whole new level that not a lot of people are really utilizing ChatGPT for, which is, or ChatGPT for, which is to understand why it's saying what it's saying for learning. Okay, so keep going.
And so yeah, so to keep going with that, right? So now it's like, oh shoot. So now every time I do that, and one of the words, because wording is everything when it comes to ChatGPT, instead of saying act as, I normally say imagine you are. Imagine you are Dan Kennedy, right? I'm not sure why it is, but for me personally, right? I can only speak for me. For me personally, I've gotten better results that way. And when I said it to imagine it's someone versus act as someone. And so that's what I do now is like, imagine you're Dan Kennedy. And like sometimes I'll just write up whatever I'm working on. And then I'll say, imagine you're Dan Kennedy. What changes would you make? And sometimes I'll just say, hey, imagine you're Dan Kennedy, create this and then have it tweak it, right? Depending on how I'm feeling and, where my creative energies are going. Sometimes I have like creative block, like all of us. But that's essentially the role, right? There's three levels to it, right? There's the act as a role, which is like a position, social media marketer. Then you want to act as like your favorite person. Hopefully they were bigger than, before April 2023. And then the third level to it is like, all right, imagine you're this person and like kind of break it down for me. Why are you doing everything that you're doing and making the suggestion that you're making, right? And it's kind of like the three levels to giving ChatGPT a role. So that's just the first letter, right? R, role, right?
All right.
Now,
The A.
the A is action. And fortunately for everyone listening, this one is super straightforward. Like, what do you actually want ChatGPT to do? Like, just tell it to it straight, give it to it straight, right? What do you want ChatGPT to do? Write an email sequence, write three social media posts, right? Write, a blog post, whatever it is. What do you actually want ChatGPT to do? What is the task that you want it to accomplish? Simple, straightforward. No ninja level strategies or tactics with that one, right? That's role, action, right? So now for, and I'll give an example at the end, right? Now, the C is context, right? So ChatGPT, as I said, is trained on a trillion data points. It is not trained on you. So whenever you're giving a, you do putting in a prompt, let's say you're starting a new conversation and you're doing a new task, right? You want to tell ChatGPT about who you are and what you do, right? And who you serve. That way, ChatGPT can personalize its responses to whatever you got going on. And now ChatGPT, that whole like, oh, it sounds like a robot. It doesn't sound like me. Slowly but surely, that starts to disappear when you actually know how to use this tool properly. But the thing that was super annoying to me, because as I was doing this, it's just like every time I started a new conversation, I would have to come up, I had to tell ChatGPT about myself over and over again. And it gets very time consuming because it's like, how many times am I going to tell ChatGPT that I'm a business owner and I help people with AI and yada, yada, yada. It gets annoying, right?
Me
After a
too.
while. And so about a year ago, back in, if I'm not mistaken, May or June of last year, I think it's June. I think it was the third week of June where ChatGPT actually announced a blog post they put out on their website and they announced what's called custom instructions. Now, custom instructions is a feature in the settings where you can have ChatGPT store information on you already. And so I
Oh,
use what's called the
okay.
interview method, right? It's a
Okay.
little strategy I came up with. And so I tell ChatGPT to ask me a series of questions one at a time and interview me. Right. So to follow the race framework, imagine you are an interviewer. I want you to ask me a series of questions one at a time, around like 10 to 15, to get a deep understanding as to who I am, my values, my business, and who I serve. Right. You will begin by you asking me the first question. I will respond and then I'll say continue and we'll go on to the next one. Do you understand? If so, begin with the first question. And so I'll type that into ChatGPT. And then now ChatGPT and me are having a conversation and he's starting to know a little bit about my life and what I got going on.
Right.
And that'll take you about 30 minutes or an hour. So if you could block off like an evening, let's say one day you get done with work earlier, it's like you just banged out all your busy work and got some free time, you got some free time during lunch. I'd say block off like 30 minutes to an hour, put some thought behind it, right? Start answering these questions, have ChatGPT interview you, right? Okay. And then from there, this part is important, right? So everyone pay attention, right? You want to tell at the end of it, you want to tell ChatGPT, now summarize everything that I spoke on in 1500 characters or less, right? Not words, right? Not sentences, 1500 characters, right? And from there, ChatGPT will take all your responses and summarize it. You will then copy that, go into your custom instructions, which is literally in your settings, right? Mm-hmm. And then you will paste this. And then you'll make sure to hit, now this is another important part, when you're on ChatGPT, make sure to hit enable for new conversations and make sure to hit save. And then from there, every time you start a new chat, ChatGPT will already have some level of context on your business. Right? Ooh, so now every time you start a new chat, you don't have to constantly tell it over and over again to get ChatGPT to be personalized. It's already trained on you now.
That's cool.
So that's the context.
Thank you for sharing that, because I was doing it not the super slow way, but slightly slower than that, where I had asked ChatGPT to summarize my communication style and given it a bunch of transcripts from videos or podcast episodes and emails.
Yeah.
And then it summarized it and I copy and pasted that into like another note somewhere on my Mac.
Yeah.
And then the other parts that you were talking about, as far as like who is the core audience that I serve, how do I serve? Mm-hmm. So that I had that there, but I was pasting that into every new ChatGPT chat to train it. But what you're saying, I like that. I'm going to have to actually have my team look at that so that they can just click a few buttons rather than having them copy and paste the summaries that you're having ChatGPT remember in the settings.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Save so much time, man. Save so much time. Yeah. And the last letter, right? It's expectation, right? And so what are you actually looking to get out of the task that you want ChatGPT to do? So in the action, let's say you create a blog post on the expectation, what do you actually want ChatGPT to get from those blog posts? Are you looking to get more people to click on it to go back to your newsletter and sign up for your newsletter? Mm-hmm. Are you looking to get people to book a call with you? Are you looking just to, you know, slip in your business so that you can just stay top of mind, right? Yeah. What is the actual expectation that you have? So for example, let's go back to the food. And sorry for anyone that's hungry right now. I'm using a lot of food analogies. But let's say you're at a restaurant again, right? And they have a steak. They have a New York strip, right? And you go and you get your New York strip. You put an order in and it comes back well done. Now, anyone with class would know that a well done New York strip is absolutely offensive. I say that with jokingly, but also kind of serious. Like,
hey, but I hardly ever have medium or rare. I always have well done. So either way, I'm offending people, but I can't handle like the juicy middle, the blood. I can't.
I medium rare is insane for me. Like I'll do like medium well. I'll do like medium normally. I do medium. And like sometimes I don't ever go past medium ever though. I never, ever go past medium. Me personally. But well done is insane. I had people get like extra well done when I worked at the restaurant job that I was at. I had people order extra well done and they will get like extra well done hanger steak. Like you might as well just bite a tire at that point. Like that is absolutely insane. But essentially, let's say you order your New York strip. Let's say you ordered it, right? And you got a rare New York strip. Now, can you get mad at the server if you didn't tell it how you want your steak cooked? No. Because you didn't tell him. You didn't give it your expectation. Same thing with ChatGPT. When you're putting in your prompts, you want to make sure you tell it what you're expecting to get out of it. So that ChatGPT doesn't do what's called a hallucinate, which is when ChatGPT kind of goes haywire and starts generating responses that you're not even asking for. So like that's easy way to do that. And like a quick little ninja tip that I always do is when I'm writing these more complicated prompts, at the very end, I always say, do you understand? If so, please provide an example. And that way, before
Right.
ChatGPT starts generating a massive list of whatever, who knows what, it gives me an example of what I asked for. And if I got it right, I'd say, perfect, let's continue.
Okay,
Right?
that's good.
Boom. So tell ChatGPT your expectation so that you don't order a steak and get the wrong temperature, right? Essentially, is what I'm saying. So that's the whole framework, right? Role, action, context, expectation. And you can take that framework and just fill in the blank for whatever you need in your business.
I like it. I like it. So I know the listener's like, all right, but at the beginning of the episode, you said you're going to tell us how to use ChatGPT to like how you used it to plan out your launch and like remind you of things you may have forgotten or prompt you with things that you should consider. And I'm like, that is so cool. That is so well, actually, let's go back a step. You started by saying that you use ChatGPT in this way to plan out your in-person event. And I was like, most listeners don't have an in-person event. How can we apply this to a launch?
And so I did it for my launch, right? And so to give a little bit of details, my launch, we had about 570 people registered for my launch. It was a 4-day launch. We had 93 up people upgrade to VIP. And then, which was $97 ish, and then about 7 or so actually take me up on my actual offer. So in total, it was a 17K launch. I also had to do a lot less work than what I did the first time around. I still did a lot more work. I did a lot of work just because I did more stuff that I didn't do the first time around. But had I just kept the playbook the exact same, I barely would have had to do anything. And so what I did was I started planning around, my launch was in January. I started planning around like October, November. And so what I was doing is like I helped ChatGPT kind of create like a theme for the launch. And so I had this little saying, right? It's AI won't replace you. Someone using AI will. Right? That's my catchphrase that I always say. If you hear anyone else say it, they copied me. I don't care. But I had ChatGPT kind of create a challenge based around that theme, that saying. So I came up with the AI won't replace me challenge, right? And then from there, the big thing where it helped out was my nurture email sequence, which is something that I didn't do the first time around my launch. My first launch is you have to prep people. You kind of almost have to like pre-frame them, pre-indoctrinate them so that they're in the state of mind where they're even going to be receptive of whatever you're going to launch, right? So I created like a almost like a, I think it was 4 or 5 week nurture email sequence with 3 emails a week. Getting people to start planting seeds so that'll be more receptive to like how AI actually is important and can help their business. So I had AI write all of those. Now I revise them, not because they're horrible, they're just not me, right? And even though I personalize it as well, it's just not me. And so I always put my little flair on it. But for the most part, ChatGPT generated all the nurture email sequence. I may have just tweaked a couple lines. That's about it, right? So total time spent, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes or so, creating a 6 week, a 5 week email nurture sequence, right? Then the next thing I did is I had ChatGPT create the actual registration emails, right? And so from there, as I said, I got quite a bit of people registered, and that's all organic as well. That wasn't with any paid traffic. I put $20 to ads, but I didn't get anyone to sign up, so I just turned them off. So that's all organic traffic that I got with. From there, I had ChatGPT help out with all the follow-up emails for, so I had a separate email sequence going live at the same time for people who didn't register for the challenge during the challenge was playing, which led to more people signing up because it was like, oh, like, oh my goodness, this is like he has this thing going on. I gotta sign up. Right. So that was like the first thing that I had ChatGPT use it for. Right. So that saved me a bunch of time. Now, for my actual sales email, I haven't used ChatGPT for them. Primarily for me is because one, I already had a pretty decent launch email sequence for my last launch. Two, I didn't want to reinvent the wheel. Three, when it comes to like anything that involves money, I'd rather bet on me than ChatGPT. And not because ChatGPT isn't better than me, but like people also buy because of it's you. And so it's like I'd write the sales emails, so like my close cart email sequence, my open cart email sequence, I write myself. And I take inspiration from like other people like Russell Brunson and Dan Kennedy and all these other people who have like challenges and stuff like that. And that's where I kind of mimic. But you could easily take those emails and feed it into ChatGPT and say, write an email in this style, right? I just didn't do that. I came up with that on the spot.
You're a better writer than me. I do feed it information and have it produce the email, but then I'll tweak the email to my
And so from there, that's the first thing I did. Then the next thing is I have a Facebook group, and in there, I had ChatGPT help create the post leading up to it. So like the same thing, I had an email sequence, I had a Facebook post sequence going out simultaneously with, and it's pretty much in unison with my actual email sequence from the very first nurture email all the way through to the end.
So you were like, this amount of time, in this amount of time, give me this number of posts that can be synced up with the emails and yada, yada, yada. And
I
it
would
did
just
it for you.
what I did was like when I had ChatGPT generate the email, I also had like after I finished generating the emails, and I would say like, hey, write email one and turn it into a condensed like Facebook post.
Oh,
And so like,
nice.
yeah, so then it would take, because usually emails are a little longer, so to put in a Facebook post is a little, a little difficult. And then from there, boom, now I have a Facebook email sequence going out at the same time. Then at the same time, this is where I said like I definitely overcomplicated my launch. I shouldn't have all these missing pieces because it's just me and
Yeah,
the editor, right?
true.
So he edits my videos. He didn't help with the launch. So like it was pretty much just me handling all that stuff. I
Wow.
also had a WhatsApp chat group where I had ChatGPT then turn the Facebook post into like text, little text. So I had a WhatsApp campaign going out at the same time, essentially, for the people in the WhatsApp that all stemmed from the emails that ChatGPT generated. And so now I have these three-way in unison sequence going out through the entire challenge, right? In terms of the actual presentation, I use Russell Brunson's Expert Secret books, and that's kind of how I structured the presentation with like the perfect webinar framework from there. And then that was, for the most part, that was pretty much it. 'Cause like once I me teaching, I was live. It was a live challenge. So that did live. But AI definitely, without a doubt, helped get the registrations up and helped me all that busy work. Like I could just show up and teach. I know my emails were scheduled. I know my posts were scheduled. I know the, the text chat were scheduled. I just had to show up and do what I do best, which is presenting. And
I
it
like it.
allowed me to take off all that excess busy work that still needs to get done, right? And get that off my plate. And in terms of like creating, I had a hired a funnel builder to help me build out the actual funnel for my
Okay.
presentation. I had ChatGPT, like there on a couple of the videos, I said I just funnel hacked a lot of it. So there wasn't me coming up from scratch as well. So that was pretty much the launch in a nutshell ish.
That makes sense. One more thing that I would love for you to slip in to this episode, because we have to end in like seven, less than 6 minutes, is you were talking about how you, and I agree, like me, we might have a course idea. Like we have the knowledge and we know the course, or we already made the course, but then like we're brimming with ideas, but we might feel like we need a lot of help making the course module structure follow alongable. And so you had told me you use ChatGPT to help you do that. And I did too, but I would love for you to share like roughly what your prompt was to have ChatGPT take knowledge and then make it into a really great course outline and lesson modules and lessons.
So what I did was, and similar to you as we talked offline, and similar to a lot of you guys that are probably listening, you're creating a course, usually someone that's pretty creative already, right? And one of the best books I've read is called The E-Myth Revisited. And in the books, it talks about like technicians. So what a technician is, someone that's highly skilled in a specific field or area or whatever, and they're good at what they do. And a lot of those people that are good at what they do, they try to turn that into a business. But a technician isn't a business owner, right? Just because you're good at what you do doesn't mean you're going to be good at making a business out of what you do. And so I say that to say that for me, I was making my course around content creation for real estate agents, right? And so for me, it was difficult to take what I knew how to do already, like being charismatic and showing up on confidence and just not caring about what people think online, like stuff that comes natural to me that
Okay.
doesn't come natural to everyone. And it was hard for me to kind of get my knowledge out in a way that is duplicatable, that's systematized, that's operationalized or whatever. Like, it was very difficult. And so although I know what they needed, help with, I know what they were struggling with, I knew the overall vision of where I wanted to get them to. It was hard to kind of put that into, and I already had the course out. It was hard to kind of really make that like super like step by step and systematic, man. It was difficult for me because my brain doesn't naturally work in that way. And even if I tried, it's just like I can't, you don't know what you know, what you don't know type of thing. And so it's like for me, instead of having to keep on smashing my head into a wall, what I had ChatGPT do is pretty much I gave it all the information. I did a bunch of surveys on realtors and what they're struggling with, and I had it read that information, analyze all of it. And so it's like ChatGPT, I think there's only six steps to content creation, right? As there's you have to, come up with a strategy, you have to, come up with things to talk about, you have to record it, you have to edit it, you have to post it, and then once you get some more money, right, leverage out, right? And it was like, all right, can you kind of create a curriculum based around that? And so like it helped me come up with the script method. So that's now my coin term. It's like strategy, concept,
Oh,
record, improve,
nice.
post, team up. So now it's like, I can tell people, hey, I have my systematic script method to help you with content creation. But then I was like, all right, how do I get even simpler? And I was like, all right, let's separate these into three phases, right? And so now it's PCD. You got to plan, create, distribute. And so like what was like this kind of very complex idea of content creation help me pretty much put it in a way that's simple enough that anyone, you got to plan, create, distribute. Doesn't get any more complex than that, right? It's super simple. And then my course now became something that's more step by step because I'm taking people through the three phases of planning, creating, and distributing content, right? And before that, I didn't have a very clear way to kind of describe that process. It's like, hey, just here's, you got to do this, right? And it's like coming out of my mouth, it's like blah 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 blah, right? But in my head, it all makes sense. And so I was having trouble for people, getting that end goal, end result, not because the content wasn't there, it's just because I didn't take into account the skills that I have naturally. And so ChatGPT helped me revise my curriculum, revamp the curriculum so that no matter where anyone is, if they follow everything along step by step and don't skip, they can get to where I'm at.
There you go. I couldn't said it better myself, having done the same sort of thing with ChatGPT. And that pretty much sums it up. Like your phrase, AI won't replace you, somebody using AI. Or maybe I go a step further and saying using AI to make up for, the things that they're not good at or to make themselves more time efficient will replace you. The listener who's listening right now and is like, John, you have taught me ChatGPT and prompting and this race model, role, action, context, expectation to get a better response from ChatGPT and even plan out a launch possibly or revamp a course curriculum so your course has, let's call it, a higher finish rate because it's more followable and they want to know more from you, like where can they go? And I'll link that up in the descriptions below.
Yeah, so one, man, thank you for letting me having me on, man. I enjoy talking to you. I enjoy, just sharing thoughts and mastermind. It's always a great conversation when I hop on and talk
Yes,
to you, man.
you're
So
welcome.
thanks again for hopping allowing me to be on the show. And for anyone that struggles with technology, struggles keeping up with all the innovations in AI, it's like almost impossible to keep up with. And I understand that. And it's okay, right? You just need the right person to explain it and break it down for you. And so for anyone that's struggling with AI and wants to leverage it in their business to save 2 to 5 hours per week, probably even more, right? So we can work smarter, not harder. I want to give you guys all a free 30-day trial to my community that I'm launching soon. And it's if you go to AI won't replace me.com. Again, that's AI won't replace me.com. You can all get a 30-day trial. I said I'm in the process of launching this right now. So I'm using AI to help me plan this while I'm currently launching. It's still going to be in about a week and a half from the day we're actually recording this live. So I'll let you know how I get and how that goes on the the next conversation we have.
Cool. All right. AI won't replace me dot com. The letter A, the letter I won't replace me dot com. Great. That will be linked up in the show notes below. And it's been an honor having you on this podcast. Clearly, you're just brimming with
Yeah.
not just theories or things that like you heard, I can tell like you're using all these kind of AI prompts. So listener, please head over there if you need help and you want to save time and be more faster and more efficient. More faster, the fastest. Until the next flash. Time that you see me or hear me, be blessed and we'll talk soon. Bye. Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link and you can go download it right now for free.